Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about nonviolent crimes committed by individuals with mental health issues. Until recently, 2015, these individuals were prosecuted, found guilty, and put in prison with other hardcore criminals. This evening we talk about addiction problems and mental health issues in a system called the Mental Health Court. This system was established through the efforts of my guest this evening, Attorney John Morganelli, District Attorney for Northampton County since 1992, who's had a passionate interest in separating the pursuit of justice for people with mental illness and those committing violent crimes. Attorney John Morganelli has established this mental health court, and it's just going to be coming into being as of this January. He's also created a cold case unit to track and investigate unsolved homicide cases. He's led the fight to study racial profiling in Pennsylvania, and he's also created within his office units to specialize in the prosecution of criminal cases regarding sexual assault and domestic violence to focus on crimes against children and women. We are really delighted to have you here as a guest to help us take charge of our lives, Attorney John Morganelli.
Well, thank you very much, Eleanor. It's a pleasure to be with you today as well.
Yeah, tell me, how did the idea of a mental health court come into being?
Well, as I indicated, when we first got involved in this, back in February of 2014, I held a press conference in Northampton County, and I announced that it was my intention to try to lead the effort to establish a mental health court in Northampton County. At that time, I indicated that it was not my idea, nor was it a new idea, because, quite frankly, there were a number of mental health courts operating in a number of counties in Pennsylvania. Although all of them are different, they have a similar mission to address offenders who are nonviolent offenders who may act out because of a situation of exacerbation of their underlying mental health diagnosis. But each one is designed by each county. So in February of 2014, I launched this effort. I knew that it would take the cooperation and the support of our president judge, as well as the Department of Human Services in Northampton County. And so from that point forward, we had a number of meetings, and eventually in December of 14, we all agreed and we signed a document and we outlined a protocol. A lot of credit goes to other players other than myself in our system. And we did launch this program now, effective January 1 of 2015.
Now, who is the president judge, Attorney Morganelli?
The president judge is Stephen Baratta. Judge Baratta, actually, many years ago, was my first deputy district attorney for about 7 years before he became a judge. He and I are friends in addition to working in the system together. And when I went with him, I will say that he took action immediately. Judge Baratta scheduled the first inaugural meeting of the players around the table, and he and his staff helped very much in getting this to where it is today.
Now, tell us, what defines mental health illness, and does it also apply to people with drug problems?
Well, that's an excellent question, Eleanor. And one of the things that I outlined beginning back in February 14 was that I wanted this to focus essentially on mental illness. Drugs are a different ballgame. I mean, there is overlap. There is overlap between mental health and people sometimes who are addicted to both street drugs and prescription drugs. But I wanted to focus on crimes that I saw over and over again of someone who has a diagnosis, they're being treated, and they go off their medications, and they end up sometimes committing petty crimes such as retail thefts in stores, or they have the police are called to their home because they're having a fight with a family member. It might be their mother, their father, and it's all related because they're off their medications and they're not really rational and they don't really know what they're doing. They're acting out. And what has happened over the years is a lot of these people get in the system and they end up getting criminal convictions. And pretty soon they have one retail theft. And then a year later they have another retail theft. And now it rises to a misdemeanor. And then it's a felony. And then these poor folks, they can't really get back in their life because they got criminal history now behind them. Or they get an assault charge because they struck their mom, but they didn't really mean to hurt anyone. It was because of a acting out because they're off their medications. And so what we wanted to identify was those individuals and also our returning vets, because I'm starting to see a lot of, with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, people coming back from those wars are traumatized and they're suffering from mental stress and mental illness. Some of it's depression. Some of it is other diagnoses. And they end up, you know, in a criminal justice system. So I didn't want to treat them as criminals, because what I'm seeing is that their crimes are directly related to this mental illness. The drugs component is a lot different, because use of drugs is a crime by itself. Having mental illness is not a crime. If you're diagnosed with an Access 1 or 2 diagnosis, that's not a crime. You know, you have a diagnosis. Drug use, you know, is different. It in and of itself, it's a crime. Possessing drugs, selling drugs. So we were not looking to create a drug court. That may be in the works. Judge Barada is looking at a recovery court that might look at drug offenders at the other end of the spectrum, and I have supported that. But this is solely focused on mental illness and mental disorders.
Now, have you begun to accept people into the program? I understand that it began in January 2015. So have you begun to accept people into the program, and what kind of people have been accepted?
Sure. Well, first of all, the program was not available prior to January 1st of 2015. Today's February, so we're only looking at this program for 30 days. We have received, I believe, a handful of applications. I'm thinking it's probably less than 6. Because of the parameters, one of the things I wanted to stress to the defense lawyers was we're not taking everybody who has mental illness, you know, unless we can establish that it was a direct relationship to the crime committed. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of people out there to go out and rob banks. You know, there's a lot of people to go out there and they commit embezzlement. And then they come to court and they say, oh, by the way, I also am bipolar. Well, it wasn't really the bipolar that led them to rob the bank or to steal money from their employer. You know, they committed a crime with the intention of, and they knew what they were doing. And yes, they may have an underlying mental health illness. They may have a depression, but it wasn't really a direct relationship like some Iraq war vet who's suffering severe depression and goes out and, you know, shoplifts and things of that nature, where we can show that they were really sort of out of it or not on medication, et cetera. We weren't giving a free pass, because if we did that, we'd have 90% of the cases in mental health court, because everyone that comes in, a lot of them have underlying, but it's not really the direct relationship to the crime that was committed. So we have to be careful, because we have to recognize that we're trying to help people that really are not the criminals, that their crimes were largely a result of an event that was occurring in their lives at that moment. Let me give you another example. We had a young boy, you know, a number of years ago that got in his father's car. You know, he tried to run his father over. He went on a police chase. You know, he smashed into a police car. When they finally apprehended him, he was completely out of it. He had a severe mental illness that was being treated for many, many years and recognized, and was off his medications. And we know that that whole episode was a result, truly, of mental illness. He wasn't just some criminal who decided to engage in it. Those are the kind of cases that we want to look at, not the bank robber who says, oh, by the way, I'm also bipolar.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of – so here's this this person who has been involved with the police, et cetera. What kind of a program would the mental health court recommend if he is found to have a problem that was not necessarily criminally related but mental health related? And before you answer that, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this morning we're talking about the new mental health court system that has just been initiated as of January 2015. My guest is Attorney John Morganelli, and we're talking about this program. Tell us about this. You mentioned this example.
Right. Well, what we're trying to do, and this requires a collaboration between the district attorney's office, the courts, and the human resources department, those who actually run mental health in our county. And I have to say, we have an excellent mental health department. I'm very impressed with the professionals that have helped me put this program together. But what we want to do is this. We have to, first of all, identify the proper case. So there'll be an application process. Defense lawyers, police officers, even the judges could say, this is a case, or someone at the prison, that we recognize this person got arrested by the police and we think it qualifies, which means that it's not a sexual offense. We didn't rape a woman. It's not a murder. Those cases are excluded. Any violent crimes that are of that nature would not be allowed in. Generally, drug possession and drug selling are not going to be in, because those are crimes that are entered in for profit. We know that. So we're looking at the retail theft, simple assaults, recklessly endangered, things that happen that we can qualify. So there's an application. I screen them. If I believe it's an appropriate case, I will then send it over to the mental health department of the county. They will also screen the case. It'll then be brought before a judge. I believe Judge Daly has been appointed primarily to look at these mental health cases. And if it's approved, a treatment program will be outlined. And that we have to look at the support system surrounding the defendant. For example, is this someone who has good family support? That's someone that we can treat outpatient and monitor them? Is it someone who is a homeless person that is in a shelter somewhere and that we need to find some place for them to reside and live? That was one of our concerns of having the resources available. So the Human Services Department will look at those and then put together a treatment plan. It'll be brought to a judge, and then the defendant in this case will be brought in and say, look, here's a situation. You know, you're going to go in a program. You have to go to keep your appointments. You have to be on your medications. And they will be monitored very closely. It might be weekly. It depends on each case will be supervised differently. And we hope that they will complete the program. At the end of the program, the goal here is to allow these charges to be dropped against this defendant. Now, there might be restitution. Let's say someone, you know, took a car and, you know, damaged someone's property. Restitution would still be ordered, but the offender would not end up with a criminal record. And that's what our goal here is. We don't want to jam up folks who have true mental illness that may have committed a crime with a criminal history that will make them, you know, unable to go on in life, to, you know, live a life that is productive, get a job, et cetera. Because, as you know, it's very difficult to get a job with a criminal record.
Well, so what you're saying is that a person who has gone through the program will have the opportunity to have that off their record.
That's correct. There'll be no conviction. The case would be dismissed under one of the applicable rules of criminal procedure, which allows a judge to dismiss the charges with the consent of the DA. Restitution may have to be ordered. It would be paid, and the person would not have a criminal history.
And they would be recommended for mental health treatment.
We would monitor treatment for a period of time. It could be a year or so, and then it would be ended at some point where we feel comfortable that they are doing okay.
Well, this is a fascinating development in the legal system, and we're going to talk more about the concept of the mental health court on when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about a very interesting new concept that is being established in Northampton County court system called the Mental Health Court. And this is a system to deal with individuals with mental health issues in a system called the Mental Health Court. Now, what about, you mentioned earlier briefly about people with addiction problems. Are they going to address people with addiction problems as well who are, because we know that addiction is an illness. Mm-hmm. It's a mental illness. And people lose control of the behavior. How will that be?
Well, it's an excellent question, and we touched upon it a little bit earlier, and that is, you know, there is an overlap that we recognize between mental health and drugs, and sometimes you have a mix of those depending on the particular individual in front of you. We are being very careful to be focused on mental health and that the primary motivating condition would be the mental health. You know, there are people who are addicted to drugs and they use drugs, et cetera. And drug courts are generally set up to deal with that. And generally, those drug courts don't necessarily result in people having no convictions. They get convictions, but they don't necessarily go to jail. They end up in rehab programs, treatment, et cetera. We don't have a drug court, and this is not a drug court. And we're going to be very clear about that. Otherwise, we'll be mixing apples and oranges here. This is going to be strictly focused on mental health. Our goal here was to tiptoe into this field to see how it goes. And we believed that we would be looking at maybe 25 cases a year that would actually be in this program because of resources. And you pointed out when we were chatting that in some states they get inundated with cases and they don't have enough resources to treat them all. I suspect that one of the reasons that occurs, and that's why I tried to make this a carefully delineated program, is that they're lumping everybody in. You know, they're bringing drug addiction in, mental illness, people who commit crimes and robberies, and yeah, they may have an underlying mental illness, but it's not the driving force behind the crime. We can't do that because we would not have the resources to do that. We want to focus on those people we believe are not criminals, that they generally don't have a drug addiction, but they have a true underlying mental illness, and that they commit crimes, and that we have the resources. You had asked me about how we're going to supervise it. These will be done by healthcare professionals, mental health experts who work for the county, who are in mental health treatment. They will individually design a program that meets the particular needs of a person. Some might be inpatient for some period of time. If they need a housing, that might have to be done, but some of them have supports at home. Each case will be looked at individually.
Now, if a person needs in-house treatment in a hospital or something of that sort, would that be approved by this mental health court as well?
It would be, and a judge might say, you know, this is where it has to be until that person gets able to be released, et cetera. You know, we are tiptoeing into it, and we're going to try to design the program that meets the needs of the offender, of the person that we're trying to help here in a sense. But you know, I do believe that we will be able to identify these cases and keep it within the parameters of how we designed it. I want to make the other point too, Eleanor, and that is, you know, this is not it's new for us, but it's not a new concept. They've been operating across the country, even here in Pennsylvania, but every county designs it the way they think it fits for their county. You know, in Pennsylvania, we have 67 elected district attorneys. I'm just one of them. And each DA has their own view of how things should work. And so we've tried to put this together focusing solely on mental health. And so we think the numbers will be low because although we recognize that there's a lot of people in the criminal justice system, you know, maybe 80% that have a mental health illness and or a drug issue, that doesn't mean that they get a free pass because they have these conditions. You know, we have to look at what crime occurred. Was it out of character for them to commit this crime? And was it solely because they were in a state that clearly was related to an exacerbation of an underlying mental illness?
Now, before this program became initiated, what would happen to a person who was convicted of a crime?
Sure.
For example, the one you mentioned earlier where this young man was involved with the police and a police chase, etc. What would be the usual way?
Well, what would happen is this fellow would be prosecuted just like everybody else. His mental health condition would be taken taken into consideration perhaps by a judge for sentencing purposes, but he would be convicted. He'd have a criminal record. He may or may not get a jail sentence, depending on the judge. He could end up in jail for some period of time. And you know, he now has a felony conviction for a crime. And that's unfortunate when really the whole episode was a result of an exacerbated mental health situation.
And what about the cost? Is there a greater cost? People are very concerned these days about budget and money, et cetera. What about the cost and how it relates to us as a community?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, when we designed this, I told Judge Barada that from my end, it would be no other staff that I would personally review these applications like I do ARD applications, which is also a diversion program. Judge Barada, when we had our first meeting, felt that the court could do this with existing personnel without adding any new personnel or new bodies, just by reallocating duties. And County Executive John Brown's staff was cooperative. So we're doing this with existing staff there, and we're not adding any more personnel. So we think we can handle it within the confines of the existing county budget.
Well, you know, there's another element, too, and that is if a person doesn't receive the right treatment, they may be confined if they not given the right diagnosis or the right aid. They might end up in the prison system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the prison system, rather than recuperate, he becomes reinvested in criminal activity, which becomes an imposition on society as well.
Yeah, there's no question that we have, and we're trying to identify these individuals early on if we can. We don't want to have people who are suffering from mental illness, which caused their criminal action, languishing in the prison. You know, we want to try to identify them early, get them out, get them in the treatment, get them back on their medications. So, you know, we're not looking for people, Eleanor, that feign mental illness. You know, every time we have a murder, you know, someone now is they're insane because they killed 10 people in McDonald's. They're insane. But, you know, a lot of this is feigned insanity. It doesn't really exist. There's no history of mental illness. They were never retreated. They were, you know, going around their lives normally until they decided to, you know, kill their wife or something. So I'm aware of the fakers, the people who come to court with, you know, no history whatsoever, and they just make this stuff up, and they hire some psychiatrist for lots of money to come in and say that they have some of this. It's not real. It's just a defense. We're looking for the folks who really have the history, that they got out of control and something happened that led them into a criminal justice system.
And what is amazing to me is that if they go through this process, they have an opportunity to become productive citizens within the community and to pay back in a positive way.
Well, look, there's people, as you know, because you're in the field, that function with their underlying mental illness. You know, they hold jobs. They're productive citizens. They're not, you know, in mental institutions. These are people that are in our community that are suffering from depression and anxiety disorders and bipolar, and they're good people. They're not criminals, you know. But if they get off of that and something happens in their lives, do we want to label them a criminal, give them a criminal record, and now perhaps they can't teach in a school, they can't, you know, get a job in government because they got these little crimes on their record? We're trying to avoid that.
And you mentioned earlier in the program about ability to help veterans.
Yes.
Can you speak more to that?
Absolutely. At the number one priority that I stated at the outset was that we wanted to have a veteran component to this program in Northampton County, that I wanted the county to focus on the needs of our veterans. You know, over the last few years, I've seen our vets coming home from Afghanistan, from Iraq, and other places. And occasionally we see them in a criminal justice system because they're suffering from the traumas of war.
Can some you give us an example of,
well,
somebody?
I can't name names,
but I've had,
you know, guys who were in, you know, the bar down the street here at Tally Ho, and one night they get in a tussle, a fight, but it's all because of, you know, they're not criminals, but they're suffering from illness, and, you know, they lash out or whatever, or they're medicating with alcohol, and then we find out that they're suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome from war. Some of them have physical ailments. Some of them, it's all mental. But, you know, these are guys and women who have served our country, who are our heroes, that are back here, and they've seen a lot. You know, they've seen their buddies get killed. They've seen just being away from home and in this kind of environment where people's heads are being chopped off and the trauma of war. Our vets deserve some special attention. And we have, you know, I said we need to make sure that if we have a vet who is in the system and who has these problems, we need to make sure we bring the Veterans Administration in, and we also can link those services so we can treat our vets the way they need to be treated and should be treated.
Well, I'm impressed with the fact that this is that you're not operating unilaterally.
Right.
You know, it's not a John Morganelli, focus. It's a people focus. It's a veterans focus. It's a people with mental illness focus, and giving them the opportunity to have a life.
One thing about my job is I'm only a facilitator here. You know, I being the DA, you have a lot of power and authority to persuade people. I tried to persuade the players in the system, the president, judge, the mental health people, the county executive, the veterans people. Let's have a plan here that I could support, I can facilitate. But in the end, all I can do is recommend cases, and the success of this program will ultimately be on those who actually do the treatment.
Well, you know, what's exciting is it gives people a second chance.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
A second chance.
And maybe a third chance. Someone asked me, well, are they allowed to come in again if they commit another crime? And the answer is yes, if you can establish that somehow a year or two later they got off the track again and it was not a serious crime. No one was murdered. No one was sexually raped, etc. I said, yeah, because the goal here is to help these people. One last example. You asked me for examples. A friend of mine many years ago, and he's deceased now, but he was actually a classmate of mine at Liberty High School a year ahead of me. And he was a great guy. He was a great athlete. Went away to college and had a nervous breakdown. And he was never right after that. He suffered from mental illness. He was in and out of homes. Regrettably, he passed away recently. But one day he just stole I think it was a UPS truck, saw it sitting there, got in it, drove it, went down to New Jersey. The police chased him. It was a completely out of his character. He was not a criminal. He never committed a crime, but it was because he was in this exacerbated state, mental illness. That is the kind of guy we should not be giving a criminal record to.
And what happened to him?
Well, it was years before I was DA, and I think that some of the charges were reduced, but he ended up with some kind of crime, you know, on his record. Unfortunately, he was a really nice guy. He was one of the best guys, came from a great family, and I always thought about that case, and that was one of the things that motivated me to this mental health court.
Well, I want to thank you so much, John Morganelli, for establishing a program long needed by those suffering from mental health issues. And we are deeply grateful to you, District Attorney John Morganelli, for your persistence and understanding of this issue and for helping to differentiate those with criminal intention from those with mental health issues. The mental health court system will give an opportunity for growth and healing and will help them to take charge of their lives and make a positive contribution to the community. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.